Every weekday at 4 p.m. Mountain Time, Pastor Mike Kessler answers your questions about the Bible. Questions like this one from Mary in Texas.
Hi, hello. Thank you so much, pastors, for having me. My question is, I was in a pretty bad relationship with a toxic ex, and at the service, we did communion, and it became an argument between me and him because I took communion, but he was telling me that I was doing it incorrectly and I was wrong for taking communion because I didn't confess my sin to a pastor. And
Mary, I am so glad you called today because, again, so many people have so many goofy ideas about God and forgiveness. The Bible says God's love has been extended to you and me and all of us. John, your thoughts.
The whole point of communion is to remember Jesus, everything that he accomplished on our behalf. If it came down to me being perfect to take communion, I would never take it. I take it because of what Jesus has done, the perfect work that he accomplished. Now, you do need to be a Christian to take communion because it's not going to be a blessing to you if you don't know Jesus. You're just going through the motions. But I confess my sin to the Lord. And I am forgiven. And communion reminds me of that I'm forgiven.
Yeah. And again, communion is remembering Christ and what he did for us. The Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus. Not a priest, not a pope, not a bishop, not a deacon, not a Sunday school teacher. You confess your sins to Jesus Christ.
That was Pastor Mike Kessler and Pastor John Randall. Hear more from them on To Every Man an Answer. Every weekday at 4 p.m. Mountain, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on CSN Radio.
Experience the timeless story of Jesus Christ with a digitally remastered DVD, Jesus, by the Jesus Film Project. This beloved classic brings the gospel accounts to life on the big screen. Witness the drama of the life of Christ. Order your copy of Jesus today for just $5 plus shipping by calling 1-800-357-4226 or by visiting csnradio.com.
KAWZ Twin Falls is rebroadcast on the following FM translators: K216 DF Kodiak, K272 AY Crescent City, CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, where God's Word is heard.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour or so as we set this time aside every weekday afternoon to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective, and what we hear in church, is it even in the Bible at all? And so if you got a question you'd like to ask us, and again, perhaps you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, hey, give us a call. We'll do our very best to answer those questions for you. Because again, to know God's word in these days is so important. I'd like to remind all of our Hawaii audience, if you're on the Big Island and you're in the Hilo area, would love to see you at Sure Foundation Church tomorrow night, as we continue in person our live study of the book of Revelation. We're going to be in chapter 13, the Mark of the Beast. And so if you're out and around, I'd love to meet you there at Sure Foundation, just past Keao, Hawaii, on Highway 130 on the right-hand side of the road. And again, 6 to 7 o'clock, we get together and just study this most amazing book. And so we took a Easter break, but now we're back at it again. And so, again, bring your Bible. I know you'll enjoy it. That's tomorrow night at Sure Foundation Church, located Kiau, Hawaii, just on Highway 130, just past Kiau on the right-hand side, the church with the long white picket fence out in front. Love to see you there. You know, joining us today, we have with us special guest, featured CSN speaker that comes on after To Every Man an Answer. We have with us Jeff Wickwire from Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi and welcome.
Hello, Mike. Good to be with you today. Looking forward to a great show as always.
Always a blessing to be with you. Looking forward to just answering some questions with you. And again, we want to encourage everybody everywhere, be praying for our government. It is most sick right now. Our the Federal Reserve says that we are on an unsustainable course in spending, which is going to end up in probably something much worse than the Depression, probably a revolution. People aren't very law-abiding like they were back in the mid-30s, early 30s and all. And so pretty scary stuff, Jeff. And then, of course, we have literally millions of illegal people coming in, living off the government, living off all our taxpayer dollars. Your thoughts, Jeff? You're right there, right on ringside center here.
We are, and they say it's up to somewhere around 10 million now. And, you watch some of the Senate proceedings and, the debates they have, and you always kind of walk away going, well, that didn't solve a thing. I mean, people vent, people say, you're doing this on purpose, but nobody really does anything to stop it. And the Biden administration is utterly disinterested in stopping it at all. They clearly want this. They no doubt want millions and millions of registered Democrat voters that they've led into the country that they believe will vote Democrat, because they're even finding some of these illegal aliens with little cards and little placards saying 4 more years for Biden. We need 4 more years. And so the illegal aliens are cheering for a Biden reelection. Well, that ought to tell you everything you need to know. They know who let them in. And they know why they've been let in, among other things, to get him reelected and to create a one-party system in America where no longer a democracy, no longer a two-party system, no longer a vote, but more of a tyranny, a dictatorship on the part of one party. And it's been extremely brazen this whole time, right in front of God and everybody. They've just opened up the borders and done nothing to secure them. And, you look at Mayorkas in there when they grill Mayorkas, who is over the whole mess, letting the immigrants in. When they grill him, he's got 1,000 excuses. He won't answer direct questions. He knows that he's let these people in on purpose. He works in tandem with President Biden. And here it is. It's for everybody to look and see. And sometimes, Mike, I don't know what it's going to take to wake some Americans up. Are they going to have to walk out on their front porch someday and have 5 illegal aliens standing there? We need your home. We want your home. I know that the mayor of L.A., Mike, literally did a press conference and asked the residents of Los Angeles who have money to purchase homes for the homeless, to buy homes to house the homeless. The mayor actually asked the citizens to do that. And so you look at this and you go, we're definitely in a spiral downward.
Yeah.
The only thing that can save America is a genuine heaven-sent awakening, and which is what we pray for here, because that's the only solution, Mike.
Yeah, because, again, we have a political party that lets goldfish vote. The Michigan electoral system is totally bogus now. If you want a mail-in ballot, you can get as many as you want. You just make up some social security numbers, make up a name, under the military, armed forces you were and where you want the ballot sent, and they'll send you as many as you want. Completely bogus. It's, Michigan is just a train wreck. And so anybody that lives in Michigan, you're in a tyrannical state. And that's a sad, sad thing when, they deliberately tamper with the voting box. Then that's what they're doing. Again, when you can have goldfish vote, when you can have your dogs vote, when you can have people who break in your country illegally and vote, this shows you what kind of a party the Democratic Party unfortunately really is. The party of deceit. And I'm sorry to have to say that, because this is not the party of John F. Kennedy, not the party of Harry Truman. You know, John Kennedy did everything he could do to stop communism. Thus, we went into Vietnam trying to prevent North Vietnam from taking over South Vietnam. But now the Democrats, they're avowed communist socialists. I mean, Bernie Sanders admits that he's a socialist. The very thing we tried to fight under Democratic Kennedy in Vietnam is the very party, the very ideology that much of the Democrat Party now holds. The very thing that Democrats were once against, now they're embracing. And it is so sad to see how the Democratic Party has been hijacked into the Socialist Communist Party now. And people don't understand what this is going to do. But I'll tell you one thing that you'll always find. When they have a slogan, vote for me, everything is free. This is what they did in Venezuela. This is what they did in Guatemala. Free healthcare, free schooling, free this, free that, free everything. They get into power and then took everything the poor people had and gave them nothing. This is the way it always works. So be aware, be wise. Jesus said, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We need to pray for a revival and that these people get exposed. Now, it's interesting. The Supreme Court now reviewing some things on Trump, and Kavanaugh reviewed some of the things on Trump, started asking questions, said, oh, the Democrats were appalled about January 6th. No, because actually you have a fair court now reviewing it rather than a court with an agenda. Yeah, enter the prosecuting attorney in New York City. Completely an agenda. Has nothing to do with what's right or wrong. It just has to do with a personal vendetta. These are pretty sick times we're in, friends. Again, the world looks in, sees that President Joe Biden was declared mentally incompetent. Yes, by his peers, by the Democrats. So he couldn't stand trial for having those top secret documents that he wasn't supposed to have. Mentally incompetent, everyone. Yet he can be president and run for election again. Don't you think the world looks at the insanity of America when we can't even determine which bathroom to go into anymore? A guy puts on a girl's dress, changes his name to a feminine name, runs in women competitions, takes all their scholarships, and if you object to that, you're racist. This is insanity reigning supreme, everyone. Be careful. Be careful. Work for the night's coming when no one can work. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. And let's go to Joe in Washington. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
How may we help?
I was reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the first part of it, the other day. And I know as a church, we're looking for the rapture. And it seems like a lot of people in the New Testament are looking for the rapture. But it almost seemed like Paul was saying that the son of perdition had to be revealed before the day of the Lord. Or I can't remember how it was written in the first part of that chapter.
Well, we know definitely that the Antichrist will be revealed before the second coming of Christ. That's very clear, because Jesus comes at the end of the tribulation period after the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the beast all just literally wage war on humanity. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, reading in 2 Thessalonians, the context there is there have been some false teachers in their ranks who have begun to teach them that the day of Christ had already come. The resurrection had already happened. The catching away had already happened. And that Jesus had already returned. And it was shaking them up. So Paul writes to them and he says, don't be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor word nor letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Then Paul says there's going to be a couple of things that must happen before Christ returns. And one of them is a great apostasy. He says that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, an apostasia, a falling away. And that man of sin is the second thing, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So here you have Paul saying two things must happen before Christ returns to rule the world. And that is a great apostasy, many people walking away from the faith, renouncing the faith, and the Antichrist has to come on the scene. But he gives us a little hint a few verses later, and he says, the mystery of iniquity already works. Only he who now letteth, now that word letteth in the King James, it means restrains. He who now restrains will continue to restrain until he be taken out of the way, until the restraint is taken out of the way. So there is a restraining influence on evil. This has to be referring to the Holy Spirit. He's restraining. There is a restraint factor. The Holy Ghost restrains evil. The church is supposed to restrain evil. But the day will come when that restraint will be removed, and that is when the Antichrist is going to step onto the stage of history. So until that happens, we've got two things that must happen before the return of Christ to rule the world. A great apostasy, and I think we're seeing that happening on a pretty significant level right now. The whole denominations have apostatized. They've walked away from Christ. They've thrown the Bible out. And then the man of sin has to be revealed, but right now he's not going to be, as long as the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit pushes him back. But the day will come, like I said, that restraint will be removed and he will step on the scene, and then you've got the beginning of the Great Tribulation. So I hope that helps make it clear, Joe. Mike?
Amen. Hope that does.
Yeah, so the first part they're talking about the second coming of the Lord, and then it kind of backs up a little bit to talk about the rapture when the restraining force is moved. Is that how that is written?
Yeah, they were all concerned that the day of Christ had already come, and, well, then how come we're not gone? How come we're still here? He says, no, you've been listening to false teaching. Don't listen to that. Don't be shaken, because these things must happen before Christ comes. And the apostasy has to happen, and the Antichrist has to step onto the scene. And until those things happen, the rapture will not take place. And Christ will not come at the end of the tribulation period until Antichrist has done his part and in the tribulation period. So it's he's just giving them some guidelines to look for, and he's comforting them. This is why he goes into the whole description of the rapture and describes it, so that they will understand, hey, it has not happened because we have not been caught up yet. So these things must come before it. And that's what he's saying, Joe.
Hope that helps.
Thank you.
God bless you, Joe. If you like, stay online, send you out some books, DVDs. And with that, we'll go to Melissa, California. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. How may we help?
So I just had a question. I have been struggling with back pain for over 10 years, and someone had recommended acupuncture to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went ahead and did it. And while it was performed, I was, praying to the Lord to, heal me through the acupuncture. But afterwards, someone mentioned that it seemed like it was kind of like Chinese medicine is like witchcraft, and it kind of freaked me out after that. And so I'm not sure if it's something that I should continue or if,
hey, Jeff, Yeah, what do you think, Jeff, on that?
You know, acupuncture, I'm not super versed on that. I do know it's the placement of thin, sterile needles into what they call acupuncture points. And it is a way of working with the nerves and where, of course, give the signals of pain. And they're able to go into those nerve points with those very thin, sterile needles and remove pain. On its face, I don't see anything necessarily wrong with it. Now, again, I'm not super versed on it. I don't know if the Chinese teach anything spiritual along with that. I'd have to do a little research on it. To my knowledge, they don't. It's simply a sort of a semi-surgical procedure. Now, if there's incantations or things they speak over it or things they connect with spirits, then that would be something different. But I'm not aware of that. I don't know that they do that. I've known people that got acupuncture, and they swore that it removed a lot of points of pain in their bodies. You know, back pain, shoulder pain, chronic pain, arthritic pain. It was an option that they took, and I can remember them telling me that it was at least somewhat effective. So, again, I'm not sure because I don't know if the Chinese apply a spiritual level to it or area to it or any, like I said, incantations or anything like that. I don't know. Mike?
Yeah, and I would say that it's in itself it's not. There's also acupressure, which also is where they put pressure with usually their thumbs or an instrument on certain parts of the body that somehow confuse the nerve endings in some way so that it alleviates the pain. So, Melissa, on itself, I don't see anything there. You've got people thinking that wood is of the devil. So I you got to be real careful, but I don't see anything prohibited in scripture concerning it, providing, like you said, Jeff, there's no incantations or chants or mantras or things along that line. Hope that helps.
Okay, it does. Thank you.
Blessings to you. Stay online. Send you out some books, some DVDs. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call. If you want to be part of the program today, we have Sherry on the line, Missouri. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
How may we help?
Hello. I was just wondering, how Satan was cast out of heaven and because he did wrong, obviously, he was an angel, but can anyone else be cast out of heaven like Satan was if they do wrong? Like, can angels go wrong, basically? Can they go bad?
No, I think Satan's rebellion and a third of the stars of heaven rebellion with Lucifer was a monumentous thing to see what happens when you rebel against God. I don't believe that will happen again ever. It's not recorded anything like that in the scripture. We do know Satan's access to heaven has not yet been revoked. The Bible tells us that he's the accuser of the brethren and accuses them day and night, the Bible says. So we know that his access to heaven, though, to accuse the brethren and all, is done away with about halfway through the tribulation period, where the Bible says Michael and his angels fall, the devil and his, and Satan was cast out, comes down to this earth the last 3.5 years. He's angry. He knows his time is short. and to wreak havoc on the world. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the fall of Satan, there's a mystery to it. Really, what the Bible tells us about his fall is fairly scarce. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 give us descriptions of what most interpret to be the fall of Satan, even though it's talking about the kings of Babylon and Tyre. It's one of those times when prophecy slips into another dimension, and it becomes very clear that the prophet has now begun to talk about something different, and that would be the fall of Satan. Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning." So you ask yourself, when? When did that happen? Well, when we see him approaching Adam and Eve in the ancient Garden of Eden, he's already fallen. He comes to them in the form of a serpent. He is evil to the hilt. He is wicked. He has set himself against God's creation. He salivates to see the fall of God's prime creation, that being Adam and Eve, and he succeeds. So there you have the devil, already fully wicked, fully evil, and fully judged. He's a disembodied spirit. So somewhere before the creation of man, Lucifer fell. So Jesus said, "I was there to see it." And of course, he could say that because Jesus is God. He's eternal, and he was there to see it. So, but that said, that must mean that the angels had already fallen with him. And so whatever happened there with those angelic creatures happened before the creation of Adam and Eve. It was a very ancient event. Now, can angels fall now? I don't think so. I don't believe so. I can't think of a Bible verse that says it's impossible. But, you know, we're millennia along down time since the fall of Satan and the original, the angels that are now demons. So that happened millennia, many millennia ago, and no angels have fallen from heaven since then. And we certainly won't be able to do it because we won't have a nature any longer that can sin. So it would seem to me that it can't happen. Now, of course, and Mike, you can chime in on this because you and I are both very well aware of this. We've gotten a lot of questions on this. But people would come in and say, "But wait a minute, the sons of God involved in Genesis 6 that visited the daughters of men, those were fallen angels, and they brought forth the giants." But we contend here on To Every Man an Answer that the sons of God were not fallen angels. They were the lineage of Seth. So that whole argument goes out the window when you read Genesis 5 and 6 in context. It's very clear the sons of God were not fallen angels, contrary to the teaching of many people who have large followings. There's no way. It was the lineage of Seth. So it doesn't seem to me, Mike, that it can happen again. And I think we're on fairly safe ground saying that, though I can't come up with a chapter and a verse.
No, and many people believe that the fall of Satan was actually after God created the heavens and the earth. Because of this reason, the Bible says the earth was good. It was very good. In fact, after almost every one of his creations, it said it was very good. What would a devil be doing in God's good earth? What would demons be doing on God's good earth? So I believe, based upon scripture, that the fall was after. Now, the Bible tells us that God made man a little lower than the angels. I don't believe that bothered Lucifer. I don't believe that bothered the demons at all. Or maybe I should say the angels at that time at all. But then the Bible says he's going to elevate this new creation above the angels. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, whereby you will judge angels, talking about in the future. And that we will also be called his bride. Now, nowhere in the Bible are angels ever referred to as the bride of Christ. So there may have been something this may very well have been the catalyst that after man was made, man was on the earth, Adam and Eve, the full plan of God was revealed, that Satan and his angels rebelled. And I believe this is why, you know, the devil wants to kill every human being he can find, and the demons as well. And so I don't believe there'll be any more rebellions here. I think that's done. Now, we're coming upon a break. Sherry, I hope that answered. If it didn't, stay on the line. We'll come back for more right after these messages.
See, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
And here it comes, you know, that not just one baby, I'm finna have three.
When this mom came to a preborn network clinic and took an ultrasound, she was shocked to find out that she was pregnant with triplets. As a single mother who already had two children, she still leaned towards abortion. But after receiving love and support from her counselors, who assured her that they were there for her, she chose life. And then this happened.
My daughter saw the ultrasound that I took home, and she asked me what this was, and she got very excited.
Every day, Preborn's network of clinics rescues 200 babies' lives. By letting a mother meet her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, she will choose life 80% of the time. To find out more, go to preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby.
Terry Man Answer here on this Wednesday afternoon with Jeff Wickwire. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. And once again, if you're in the Hilo area in the Big Island of Hawaii, I'll be teaching there at the Sure Foundation Church on Highway 130 as you come out of Hilo headed towards Pahoa. You just go on down the road there, and you'll see Sure Foundation on the right-hand side of the road, Highway 130. And love to see you there. We're starting again, continuing our study in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 13 after our little break that we took over the Easter resurrection, Palm Sunday and all, time that we had together. And so we're going to be back. And so bring your Bible, tomorrow night, and you're going to have a good time, 6 to 7 o'clock there at Sure Foundation in Kau, Hawaii. And so I think you'll be blessed. When we went to the break, we were speaking with Sherry. Is there going to be any more rebellions in heaven? I think that's what it really comes down to. We don't find any more, but we do find one final decisive moment where Satan is cast out of heaven. His ability to accuse the brethren, his access to heaven, is finally taken away. They're about halfway through the tribulation period. Sherry, I hope that answers it for you.
It does. Thank you so much.
Stay online if you like. Send you out some books, DVDs, I think, great to share with your friends. And let's go to Candace in Oregon. Hi and welcome.
Hi there.
Tommy Wheel.
I am calling because my husband and I have had three children, and we are all believers and raised our family in church. And we currently attend a Calvary Chapel here in Oregon. All of our kids, you know, married Christian spouses, had their families. But one of our kids she married a guy and they, you know, started out coming to our church. But then they broke off into an organization called Shield of Faith International. And at first it was fine. They don't attend a church now. It's a church in their home. And so we thought, okay, that's fine. But over the years, we have noticed that they've pulled away from our whole family. And we don't understand why. And I've taken my daughter out to lunch because, for example, they have 8 children. And we used to have their kids at our house all the time, you know, grandma and grandpa. And now we haven't had the kids. They haven't been allowed to come over to our house in 2 years. So I took my daughter out to lunch and said, honey, you know, did we do something wrong? What can we do? And she said, no, nothing. We're just busy. But I know another young couple that attends their home fellowship, and their kids can't go to grandma and grandpa's either. We've said, you know, we noticed the pulling away a few years ago, and we thought, let's be really careful. So, like, no TV is ever on when they're at our house. We do just, you know, outdoor things or homemaking things. There's serious dress code issues. Like they can't wear tank tops and, you know, but all of it can be biblically okay. Like I get it. Modesty is good. And, but there's something wrong because they've pulled away from all of us. So I want to know if you know where, because they won't tell me why we're not any good anymore, even though we all love the Lord. Her brother-in-law that married one of our daughters is a Calvary pastor in Burns. It's like, our family's solid. But now we all feel like we're not good enough or something. So,
well, it sounds very culty in the way that they're doing that, because you see, Jesus comes to unify those of fellow believers and brethren. And cults always want to get people off to the side where they can't have any other input in their life so they can manipulate them however they want. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, anytime you see family members pulling away from their family and being isolated, that smacks of a cult. You can name the cult. They all do it. You become one of them, and everybody else is out there, and you are in the inner circle, or that you are amongst the elite, the blessed, the called, the chosen. You've got revelation that no one else has. And so there is an attempt on the part of cults and cult leaders invariably to separate people from outer connections so that they can fully brainwash them. I'm not super familiar with this particular group, but let me ask you, Candace, is it King James only?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, they're King James only. They're very legalistic, and they have a rather odd way of looking at certain things. So all the other versions are no good. So there, to me, the minute somebody says, you know, we're King James only, I immediately equate that with legalism. Because if you know anything about translation, the process of translation, how it was done, the original manuscripts, then you know that King James is not the only valid translation. But that's what they say. And that's the only one you need. Everything else needs to be thrown out. So just the fact of the isolationism, the King James only-ism, and other legalistic things that I kind of see on their site, I think you have a decent reason to be concerned. And all that I know to do with something like that, because you said your grandkids haven't been there in 2 years?
Correct. They'll come as a family, with their parents, but they are not allowed to stay with us alone.
Okay, that right there, to me, is a great red flag. Because what they're saying is, as long as we're there to guard them from you telling them something we wouldn't agree with, then we're cool with it. But if we're not there, we're not cool with them being with you because they may tell you some of the things going on, or you may teach them something contrary to what we are. So that tells me there's a real strong brainwashing, sort of a mind control thing going on there. Now, I'm not there. I haven't seen it with my own eyes. But when you said that they haven't been allowed to come for 2 years with their own grandparents, a great big ring-a-ding-a-ding-a went off in my spirit. I'd be real careful with that. So all that I know to tell you is to pray. And next time you're with your children or your daughter, you said it's your daughter, right? That's married to a guy and they got involved in this.
Yes.
Hello, Candace. Okay. Next time you're with your daughter, I would say, look, can I just explain to you my concerns? Yeah. And if you just open scripture and say it very gently, very, non-confrontationally, just here's my concerns as your mother. This really, really looks to me like something culty. And here's why. Would you let me explain to you why? You can sow a seed, but it's hard to reach people that have gotten involved in a cult. You got to walk carefully, show them love, and approach them with just logic and the truth of scripture, and then pray that the seed takes. But I think you have reason to be concerned. I'll be honest with you, Mike.
Absolutely. Now, there is a Shield of Faith group. Now, a lot of people use that name because it is wording that we find in the scripture. But there's a Shield of Faith group. It's an offshoot of a California hate group, and they have been operating in the Intermountain area, Boise and Eastern Oregon. If it is part of that group, you need to do everything you can do to get your daughter out of it, because it is really wacky. And you might want to find out if there some members from the Shield of Faith Baptist Church, because again, you might just want to find out where their organization is, what comprises them, what makes them what they are, because you said enough things that would cause a red flag to show up, and the desire to separate children from their parents that are Christians, something's just not right here. So I would really encourage you to find out who this group is, and because they're getting their weirdness from somewhere. So you need to find out where that's coming from. And then we can maybe look in a little bit closer to see the origins of it and what their game really is, because something there is just not right.
Is it Shield of Faith Mission International, Candace?
I believe so. Before I got on air, I told him that one of the spokesmen that was kind of the head of the Pacific Northwest group was named Dick York. He's passed away, but I don't believe it's, you know, a radical group, because I know the families, and they're, honestly, they're lovely families. The children
are
beautiful. Well,
but so are Mormons, and they have a great choir too.
Yeah, and they share the gospel. But, I mean, in some ways I feel like, gee, they're you know, doing more work than me.
What I would do if I were you, go to that website and go to the About and look at SFMI principles and look at their statement of faith, but mainly their principles. That's where I'm seeing a few weird things. But anyway, I hope that helps, Candace.
Thank you. Let's pray.
Father, we just pray that you would give Candace wisdom in dealing with her family and her daughter. Lord, we pray for unity here. We pray for the truth to come out. Lord, we don't know what group this is. So many different groups, you said the same names, and we don't want to malign anybody. But, Lord, when we find something that trying to separate families, we know something's not right. And so I just pray you give her wisdom in speaking to her daughter, that she can get to the bottom of what this really is. And, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would guide and bring your spirit of truth into this situation. And so we entrust it to you, Lord. May you just give her that wisdom that comes from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Candace, real quick, can I ask another question?
Yeah.
How is the relationship between your daughter and son-in-law in this organization with the rest of brothers and sisters in your family?
Strained, very strained.
So it's every aspect, yeah. So, yeah, something's not right.
Absolutely.
So,
no.
Yeah. So, Candace, let us know. We're here, and you know, it's funny. Cults crop up about as fast as it, and there is a cult in oftentimes thinking, look how good I am. I don't do this. I don't do that. This is what the Pharisees were doing, and so we have to be careful where. Does our spirituality come from? Again, as I've shared this almost every day this week, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, he is the source of our righteousness, not because I don't watch TV or because I do or because I wear flip-flops or I wear wingtips. This is all getting back under the law again. And again, this is where I think it would do well, because generally speaking, you don't find a group off in just one area. When the spirit of error is working, it works in many areas. And this is why you get such crazy ideas and crazy doctrine. So Candace, we're here for you. Let us know. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much.
Stay in line. Send you some books and DVDs. Perhaps you can get those into the hands of your family as well. Stay in line. Candace will get you taken care of. You're in our prayers. Let's go to Darlene, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Hey, Pastor Mike and Pastor Jeff. I hope you guys are both doing well. Thank you for taking my call. I was studying in the book of Exodus during the Easter season and Palm Sunday and Easter, and I can't find it in my Bible. I got a question and then a follow-up question. I wanted to know if you knew how long the timeline is between the first plague of the blood in the Nile to the last plague of the death of the firstborn in Egypt.
Your thoughts, Jeff?
Well, we can't know that for sure, because with some of the plagues, it doesn't tell us how long they lasted. Some of them it does. Like, if I'm remembering correctly, the pitch black dark, when everything went so dark, they could not even see their hand in front of their face. They had to stay in bed for 3 days and nights. So it tells us, if I'm remembering correctly, it was 3 days and nights. But the rest of them, or at least most of the other ones, we don't know how long. I think maybe one way to at least kind of calculate it, we know that Moses was 80 years old when he first appeared to Pharaoh. He was 80 years old, which gives great encouragement to people getting on in years. He started his major ministry when he was 80, but he was 80 years old. Then we also know that they were 40 years in the wilderness, right? 80 and 40, that's 120. We know Moses was 120 years old when he died. So that would tell us that the plagues had to have lasted under a year, or else there would be another year added to Moses' time. 80 when he approached Pharaoh for the first time, 40 years in the wilderness, 120 when he died. So My guess would be, some believe, I think, that they lasted maybe 40 days, some a little bit longer. But I think we're safe in conjecturing that they lasted under a year, or else the rest of the timeline with Moses' life would not add up. So, Mike?
Yeah, your thought. I think that, again, the Bible doesn't say definitively. Now, it would appear in some of the plagues where Pharaoh would recant and say, oh, okay, I'll let the people go. And then as soon as the plague stopped, then he would change his mind. And so then he was hit almost immediately with another plague. But again, we don't know how long some of the plagues went on. The plagues, you've got to remember with plagues, for instance, all the livestock of the Egyptians dying. The full brunt of the animals dying probably would not have set in for maybe several weeks or even months to realize that all of your meat, all your protein is gone. So it may very well be that. And I've always heard that they estimate between maybe 40 days and 2 years was that. Some people put the wandering wilderness experience at 38 years. But whether it's 30 or 40, I agree with Jeff. I don't think it was very long. And the message got through. When you look at some of the events that happened with the children of Israel, that none of their livestock, as an example, were harmed. God, I think had them begin to turn more and more to Israel, because the plague was the punishment was not upon Israel; it was upon the Egyptians. So. To have an exact time, I think, Jeff, I've always said when the Bible's silent, it's wise to be silent. But we can look, and I think that's a good scenario that you laid down of the 80 years, and then the 38 to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Now, very quickly, something about Moses, just a little caveat here. For 40 years, Moses thought he was a somebody. Raised in Pharaoh's court. Then when he killed the Egyptian guard, was found out, he hightailed it on the backside of the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years he thought he was a somebody. 40 years God showed him he was a nobody. And the last 40 years of his life, God showed Moses how great things God can do with a nobody. I like that. So hope that helps, Arlene.
Yes. Can you, can I follow up with another part to it then?
Sure.
Okay, so the fifth plague is that all Egyptian livestock dies, but not, of course, the livestock in Goshen, the Israelites' livestock doesn't die. So yes. All Egyptian livestock dies in the fifth plague. The final plague, it says, is the death of all the firstborn of Egypt, including the firstborn of all the livestock. And it's in Exodus 12. So I'm like, okay, well, where did the Egyptians get more livestock if they already died in that fifth plague? Like, I realize what you're saying when the Bible is silent, but I was thinking, did they buy more livestock, or did they go to neighboring lands and get more livestock because they were already dead in the fifth plague? How does the firstborn of the livestock die in the tenth plague?
Yeah. Again, the livestock of Israel didn't die. So many people believe that the Egyptians got or either that or seized the livestock of Israel. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Let's remember now, the fifth plague was the hail, right? They were killed in the field from the great hail.
Livestock of all the land of Egypt died.
Right.
Well, I'm remembering the hail. Moses warned them. He said, if you get the livestock out of the fields, then they won't be killed by the hail. But if you don't listen to this warning, they're going to be killed along with everything else. So I'm just wondering, I'm trying to remember if all the livestock of Egypt were killed, and like, when was the greatest killing or death of livestock, Egyptian livestock? Was during the hailstorm, and they had been warned, if you get them in shelter, you'll save them, including the servants that were in the field. So some listened to the warning. It's a great picture of, you know, preaching there's a judgment coming. And some of the Egyptians, the servants in the field, were called into shelter, and the livestock were brought into shelter. But the ones that weren't perished in the terrible hailstorm. Now, that's what I'm remembering. So perhaps that's where some of the livestock came from that you're talking about, Darlene.
Yeah, the fifth plague. Let me just read it here very quickly. It says, the Lord said to Moses, go tell Pharaoh, tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. And if you refuse to let them go, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle, in your field, on your horses, on your donkeys, camels, oxen, on the sheep, and there will be a very severe pestilence. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so nothing shall die of that which belongs to the children of Israel. And so the Lord set an appointed time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. And the Lord did this thing, and the next day all the livestock of Egypt died, but the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Pharaoh sent, indeed, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead, but the heart of Pharaoh's became hard, and he did not let the people go. So I would say that they got the livestock from the people of Israel to try to replenish some of their stuff, very possibly from others as well. But the plague was upon the land of Egypt. So I hope that helps.
It does. I was just wondering, like, and when I talked to my brother about it, he said, why does the livestock concern you? And it wasn't the fact that it was a livestock. It was just that I felt like if they were already dead, where did more livestock come from that the firstborn of the livestock would get killed in the last plague? So I guess it's like you were saying, if the Bible is silent, we just have to assume where they got more livestock for.
And the other thing you have to remember too is that, you know, we oftentimes think that people, the children of Israel there in Egypt was, you know, maybe, 5,000 people. No, there was probably close to, they estimate somewhere around 1 million people. So this was a very large group, and to have all of their livestock still alive and healthy, this would, and remembering they were slaves, I think this is where they probably made their move and came and see some of the stuff of Israel. So hope that helps. Darlene, stay in line. We'll send you out some books, DVDs. Joe, Jason, Joel, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Jeff, thanks so much for being on.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Always a blessing time to be with you and answering questions with you. Be sure to catch Jeff's program. Comes on after Every Man Answers. God bless. Have a good night.
Today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.